Masechet Avodah Zarah Perek He, Mishnah Yod Bet, the last Mishnah in Masechet Avodah Zarah. In the last Mishnah, we spoke about purifying a wine press that had the flavor of Yayin Nesech in it. We'll continue to talk about what we do with utensils that were used by an idol worshiper, that were acquired from an idol worshiper. In two respects, the two problems would be, number one, we have to immerse, we have to dip these kelim, these utensils, in a mikveh before they're allowed to be used by a Jew. That's talking about new utensils as well as old utensils, ones that we'd be using for eating purposes. This is known as tevilat kelim. The pasuk would say that it only applies to metal types of utensils, or utensils that are coated with metal, but on a rabbinic level as well, they would apply to glass. The second issue that would arise is if using a utensil for non-kosher food that was hot, the flavor of that non-kosher food would get absorbed into the utensil, and then it would be removed when other foods are put onto it, and that food would absorb the taste of that non-kosher food. So that becomes a problem as well, and that is why a person would have to do Hag'alat Kelim. They have to kosher their dishes, which we'll talk about, to remove the non-kosher flavor from the walls of the utensil. We also learned this out from the Torah in the war between Bnei Israel and the Midianim. This would not only apply to utensils that were acquired from a non-Jew, but it would also apply to utensils that were owned by a Jew where not kosher food was cooked into. Here we'll talk about how to deal with both of those issues. Mishnah says, Halokeach kele tashmish min ha'ovdei kochavim. If somebody buys utensils used for food from idol worshippers, they have to purify them in the following way. Et shedarko lehatbil yatbil. If utensil needs to be dipped into a mikveh, tevilat kelim, because it didn't absorb any forbidden flavor, immerse it into a mikveh, and that would be enough, that would be okay for you to use at that point in time. There would be no need to kosher the kelim. Let's say a utensil is used for cold food or for cold drink, therefore there would be nothing that had to be done to it besides dipping it into a mikveh, because there's no absorbing that happens without the food being hot. So therefore, a utensil that was only used for cold food wouldn't absorb any prohibited flavor into the wool. So therefore, the dipping in a mikveh would be sufficient. Lehagil yagil, but if a utensil needs to be purged with hot water, hag'ala, in order to take out the flavor that was absorbed into the walls, he has to burn it out, he has to purge it with hot water, and then dip it into a mikveh afterwards in order to allow it to be used. This would be something like a metal pot that was used for cooking. It has to be put into boiling water to take out that flavor, but before he does that, of course he has to scrub the walls and remove any mamashut, any actual dirt or substances from the surface, because the forbidden flavor would be within the walls, and you can't remove it from the walls of the keli unless those utensils are fully cleaned. And you'd have to use hot water here, which is haga'ala. You'd have to purge the pot, for example, because in order to remove the absorbed flavor, you have to remove it in the way that it went in. So here, it went into the walls through hot cooking or hot liquids or whatever it may be. Also, hot liquids would have to be used to remove them from the walls of the keli. Laben ba'ur, ye laben ba'ur. But if the utensil was used where it was heated in a flame, and then you'd have to remove it through libun, through a fire, and then dip it into a mikveh afterwards to be used. What's an example of that? Hashapul v'ha'askela, a spit that's used for roasting and the grill, milabenan ba'ur. You have to heat those up in a flame before immersing them in a mikveh. So what you would do with a skewer, for example, is the way that it absorbs food is directly through the heat of the fire. It doesn't happen through liquid or in another way, but it's literally through the fire. So in order to remove the flavor, it has to be put into a fire as well. Boiling water wouldn't be sufficient in this case. It has to be burned out by fire. Libun, and it would have to be done until sparks fly from it, like a blowtorch nowadays. When doing libun, though, there would be no need to clean off the utensil first, like we had with hagala, where you needed to. Here, the fire is so powerful that it would burn everything off, so there's no need to do anything beyond that. But a knife that was used for not kosher food is koshered in a different way. The pressure of the knife, the fact that the knife is being used to cut down automatically creates a certain amount of absorption into the knife, and therefore also the knife would transfer this flavor into the food. And we're even talking about knives that were used for cold food. The pushing, the pressure itself creates a sense of absorption. So hasakin, a knife that someone buys from a non-Jew, safa vihi teora, you have to scrub it by sticking it into the ground 10 times, and then it's pure. It would be permitted for use by putting it into the ground 10 times. The grease that was on the blade would be removed, and anything that was in the knife would be also taken out by the pressing against the ground, and therefore it would be permitted to use. Afterwards, the knife would be allowed to be used with cold food. A knife also could be used by kosher, by sharpening it, by scraping another stone against it. That would also remove anything that was within it. And at that point in time, you'd be able to use it also with hot food. Afterwards, you'd have to dip it into a mikveh, and that's how you kosher a knife. But we're talking about here a knife that is smooth and doesn't have all little holes in it. If a knife has all little holes in it, then libun also has to be done in order to permit it. All this is not halacha lemaaseh. This is how the Mishnah learns it out. Hadran alach masechet avodah zarah.